So today we'll be reading 914 of Satatam Kintantama and discussing the just the idea of a pure devotee. What is a pure devotee? How can we become pure devotees? And what we owe to our heritage, pure devotees. So it's up on the board. We can chant it if anybody wants to try it, then go right ahead. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas cha dridharata namasyantas cha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas cha dridharata Namasyantas jamam bhaktya Nitya yukta upasate Satatam kirtayanto mam Namasyantas jamam bhaktya Jerry Pasquette. Anyone else? Any of the ladies like to try? Patatam kirtayam tamam. Yakam tasa jidhavata. Namasantana tamam bhakta. Nitya yukta upasate. Satatam, always. Kirtayanta, chanting. Mam, about me. Yatanta, fully endeavoring. Cha, also. Jidharata, with determination. Namasyanta, offering obeisances. Cha, and. Mam, me. Bhaktya, in devotion. Nitya yukta, perpetually engaged. Upasate, worship. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. And let's say it together. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmajyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, and smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadasi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master. And in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Person of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Om Manganatam Randasya Ganangana Shakaya Chakshuram Ritamina Tajmai Shibhurve Namaha. So once one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in ISKCON? And then Prabhupada turned and asked someone, how many devotees do we have in ISKCON? And then, let's say he said, 3,000. Prabhupada said, we have 3,000 pure devotees in ISKCON. So someone may question that, say, well, how is that possible? You know, we see devotees, you know, having these struggles, but the idea is that as long as you stay in the boat, you know, we're in this boat that's traveling over the ocean, the material ocean, and if we just stay in the boat and follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, then we're on our way. You know, we're pure devotees. It's just a matter of time before we get there. So Prabhupada was so liberal that way, and he was so encouraging. And we can see that just a moment's association with a pure devotee is enough to bring someone out of the material world. I was reading a discussion where they were saying that Prabhupada actually only saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta just a few times. And likewise, there are so many Prabhupada disciples that maybe didn't have any physical association with him, and many very little. But at the same time, it was enough. And not only that, but the legacy that Srila Prabhupada left of books and instructions, that he has left a legacy for us that if we take it up, we can actually achieve that goal of becoming a totally pure devotee. Prabhupada knew how to mediate. He knew how to instruct his devotees, and knew how to give a little when needed. I was reading where once there was a little bit of a rift between Tamal Krishnamaraj and Harikesh. Tamal Krishna was having trouble digesting the rice in Mayapur, and apparently the rice in Mayapur, I heard from Pushka, was quite difficult to digest. And so he asked Prabhupada if he could have what was left in the pot. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, no problem. Then Prabhupada told Harikesh that his remnants should be distributed to the devotees. So they were having this kind of intense argument about it, and then they brought it to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, well, it's okay if Tamal Krishna has what's in the pot, and Harikesh, Prabhu, you can still distribute my remnants to all the devotees. So, and he made it so clear too that to have fighting amongst devotees is such a unfortunate that devotees should be so ready to serve other devotees. And he also made it very clear that not just some devotees, that, you know, the servant of Srila Prabhupada, you know, if he's starting to feel like really special and above everybody else, Prabhupada said, then he's not a Vaishnava. I mean, that clear, he's not a Vaishnava. You know, we're not allowed to feel better than anybody else. And he also said, it's not that we serve some devotees and don't serve other devotees. We serve all devotees because all those devotees are in the boat. So we're so fortunate to have these kinds of instructions, you know, that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Of course, all the memories that there are there, and all the biographies are there. So we have so much training to be grateful for. And we have so many of our family members, you know, so much of our heritage in the Bhagavatam to give us the example. I was just reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita, talking about how just seeing a pure devotee, even one time, is enough to cut through all the layers, you know, all the false ego, and wake up, you know, jeev jaga, like wake up sleeping soul. And we saw that with so many devotees and so many different kinds of devotees, how that happened, just seeing Prabhupada. I remember in 1976, Rathiatra in New York, and it was the most unbelievably ecstatic parade, you know. I actually waited. When I got to New York, I was I asked, where's Prabhupada? Because all the devotees were going to Fifth Avenue to get ready for the parade. So I said, where's Prabhupada? He said, well, he hasn't left yet. I said, well, I'm just going to stay here then and wait for him. And my friend Dear said, I'm going to stay with Sukhita. So we sat there and we peddled flowers. And, you know, thinking when Prabhupada came out, big kirtan, and we'd throw the petals on Srila Prabhupada. But what happened is Prabhupada came out, and there was no kirtan. He was just there standing in front of me. So immediately, I paid my obeisances. And my friend Dear took a picture of me. I'm like halfway down, and Prabhupada's looking at me. And When I got up, Prabhupada was already in the car, ready to leave, and so we quickly hailed a cab and tried to follow, you know, maneuver the streets. And we were able to get out, we had our bag of flower petals, and we just threw them on Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, pulling Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was sitting on Subhadra Devi's cart. And so just pulling him down and watching all the expressions of the onlookers, you know, that anyone that sees Prabhupada, anyone that sees Lord Jagannath, all these people are liberated. And really, it may not totally fructify in this lifetime, but it will fructify. And these people will ultimately, you know, be liberated. Because seeing the pure devotee, it's like sowing a seed in the heart. This is described in chapter 19 in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the seed is sowed in our heart. You know, we keep it in our heart. We see Prabhupada, we keep that in our heart. And then it's watered by hearing and chanting. You know, as we hear, as we chant, and as we share, there's a beautiful verse, mat chita mat ganav prana, bodayanta parasparam, katantyantas chamam nityam dushanti cha ramanti cha. So the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great bliss and satisfaction by enlightening each other and conversing about me. So that's our real business as devotees. And we have so many things to talk about, and they're all important things, but when we can share a pastime of Krishna or his devotees, you know, that is blessing another devotee. And Prabhupada said really that it takes a blessing by a devotee to become a devotee. So we may be blessed by, like for myself, I was, you know, searching in Krishna consciousness. I mean, I was just searching spiritual life. And a lot of my friends were, you know, Mukhya and her husband. And so, you know, we were all searching. And I went to South America to look for, I met some Indians in the mountains, you know, they had their little pots and they had all these coca leaves, and they'd take the coca leaves and they'd grind them up and they'd eat them, and they would come with this incredible strength, and they could just walk up a mountain. But actually, if you looked at them, their teeth are practically gone, you know, because it's such intense stuff, you know. I thought, well, I don't think this is it. You know what I mean? You're like looking for the truth, right? It's like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, that there's four kinds of men that come to me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and those who are searching after the absolute. So for many of us at that time, it was a mixture of distress and really searching after the absolute truth. So I spent some time in South America, really learned quite a bit. When I came back, my friends, Mukhya and her husband Jandalo, they picked me up at the airport and they gave me a Bhagavad Gita. So I read the Bhagavad Gita and I was like, wow, this is incredible. This is amazing. This is what I've been looking for. So that association with, like, I was blessed by Mukhya and her husband giving me a Bhagavad Gita, and then I was blessed by Prabhupada. So whenever we can give out a book, share a pastime, this can be the beginning of the spiritual life of so many people. And that's our real business. So I also thought we could take a look at different personalities who were very special in achieving this goal. I mean, when you sow that seed, when you water the seed with hearing and chanting, the Bhakti Lata Bij is called the devotional creeper. And that devotional creeper, it grows, and it grows all the way up, and it penetrates the material covering, and it continues on into the Brahman effulgence. And if we keep on watering it, with hearing and chanting and serving, you know, following the nine processes, ultimately we can achieve residence at Krishna's lotus feet. We can attain that fruit of pure love of God, which is so difficult to attain. It's so difficult, but it's so easy. Because once you're in the boat, you know, once you're on the path of going home back to Godhead, then you know, it actually sails along quite nicely. I mean, there are many obstacles in the way. And we'll talk about some of those obstacles that we can meet as well. But Vasudev Dutt in the Chaitanya Charitamrita was such an exceptional spiritual character that Lord Chaitanya said, Vasudev Dutt is my man. Vasudev Dutt has purchased me. Can you imagine? The Supreme Personality of Godhead saying, this is my man. Vasudev Dutt, he asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, you know, all these people are suffering so significantly in this material world. And what I'd like, and you have to fill the desires of your devotees. Krishna does promise that he'll fulfill the desires of his devotees. He says, I would like to take all these reactions on my head, take all the suffering of all these living entities, and I'll just suffer in a hellish existence so that they may go back home, back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya heard this. He had said tears like the Ganges began flowing out of his eyes, and he began to tremble because this is such an amazing experience that somebody would do this, you know, would take on all that suffering. You know, generally people try to get away from the suffering. They're after atyantikam sukham. They're after the perfect happiness. Prabhupada says that most people, they're thinking, even as they're working and, you know, performing so many austerities, they're thinking, I'll really be glad when I can retire, when I don't have to work anymore. Then I'll be happy. You know, I have enough money in the bank, I'll put it away, and then, you know, I'll be happy. But Prabhupada says, it doesn't work that way. And you can see so many people, they may retire at the utmost time to get the most money, and there's a great percentage of them that don't live more than 5 years past that time. So the proposition of the devotee, for the devotee, is to always enjoy, to always experience that transcendental bliss by understanding Krishna's position. Another incredible verse, Bhoktaram Yagna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshram Suhidam Sarva Bhutanam Yanamam Vichitati, that Krishna is he's the supreme enjoyer. He's the supreme proprietor. He's the master of all demigods and all the planets. He's the optimum result of all sacrifices, austerities, and penances. And he's the supreme friend of every living entity. Now, that is so amazing to think that he's the supreme friend of every living entity, and everything that he is arranging for us is very specially tapered to our situation. Tatena kampam shukshamikshamano, that we go on suffering not just the results of our past deeds, because Prabhupada also says for devotees, it's not just karma. It's that Krishna's arranging special situations, so we have any vestige of desire, of material desire, that he will create a situation to burn out that desire. So we can never doubt that what's happening is not specially arranged for Krishna. And we shouldn't really point fingers either, thinking that, you know, that's your karma. Because we don't know. I mean, we have to be so careful, because as this bhakti lata bij is growing up to Krishna's lotus feet, what's the one situation can really bring it down? What's the one situation that can really bring that bhakti lesion? Vaishnava aparad. That can just really kill it. So Prabhupada says we should have a fence up around our bhakti lata bij, so we don't make offenses. And there's a story about a devotee in CC about Mukunda, and he was bringing devotee Garadhar to visit Pundarik Vijayaniti. So when they arrived at the residence of Pundarik Vijayaniti, he was super wealthy, and there he was, you know, reclining in this beautiful seat of red satin, and, you know, just bejeweled, you know, and just embroidered incredible clothing, and He had pan in two boxes on either side of his kind of a vyasa sign, and he had spittoons so he could spit out the pan, and he had a mirror that was all dyed with pan juice, dyed red with pan juice. So Gadadhar's thinking, okay, I don't know about this guy. He doesn't look like, you know, he looks like a sense enjoyer to me. So what happened is that Gadadhar, Bakunda, he started reading a passage about Krishna and how Putana was trying to kill Krishna, and Krishna was drinking Putana's milk, and Krishna ultimately killed her. But because she gave her milk, that she was given the same blessing and destination as Mother Yasoda. So when Pundarik Vijayanti heard this, he totally went into ecstasy. I mean, he could not keep himself under control. It said he ripped off his beautiful embroidered clothing. His legs started to flail. He was making indescribable sounds. He was rolling on the ground. And so he saw this. Gadadhar saw this, and he realized that he was a pure devotee. I mean, there's devotees who just that went into ecstasy when they saw a peacock fan. So we never know by, you know, external circumstances of a devotee what may be happening inside. So we should always give ourselves and other devotees, more other devotees than ourselves, the benefit of the doubt in their spiritual life. You know, our duty is to encourage. It's not that we can't help them along the path if they're straying. I guess we just have to be very careful how we do it, to be encouraging. There's so many stories of devotees, one sannyasi in particular, who left the movement. And so a lot of devotees were talking about it and, you know, going to Prabhupada and just saying, oh, wow, what a mudha. You know, here he is, sannyasi, now he's going back to what? Chewed or eat the vomit, you know, so many descriptions of that kind of a situation. But actually, Prabhupada said, this is wrong. You shouldn't do this, because now you've made it so difficult for this devotee to return to Krishna consciousness. And when this would happen with devotees, because you have to realize these were very young devotees. Now the standards are much stricter for sannyas, right, Prangavinda Prabhu? At that time, if some Prabhupada would ask someone, I think you should take sannyas. So these devotees would take, I don't know. I'll give you my blessings for sure. So these devotees would take sannyas, but because they were so young, it was very, very challenging. And many of them left, but Prabhupada would say, okay, you're not in the sannyas ashram anymore, but okay, then be a good devotee in the grihastha ashram. Just don't ever give up. Just don't ever give up the process. Continue to chant, continue to hear, continue to serve, especially serve the devotees, so that your bhakti lata bij can continue to grow. And there's other amazing stories. Of course, Queen Kunti, such a pure devotee. We know so much about her that she, you know, prayed to Krishna that, please, vipara, calamity, let these calamities keep on coming. Let them happen again and again and again, because when they happen, I remember you. And I think we've all had experience, you know, when we're experiencing calamity in our life, we are holding on to lotus feet of our spiritual master and to Krishna. You know, we're praying like never before, you know, to maybe rectify the situation or let us understand, you know, why this calamity is taking place. So hard to understand, like, that a five-year-old girl has a brain tumor, you know, and in Kali Yuga, there's so much of this, you know, COVID, you know, these beautiful devotees, you know, getting so sick, you know, why is this happening? So Krishna has a plan for every person, for every devotee. And ultimately, like Queen Kunti, we have to be able to accept what his plan is. We can do everything we can to correct that plan, to improve that plan, but ultimately, whatever Krishna orders, you know, whatever he wants, you know, we have to understand that, and we have to accept it, and we have to come to, you know, terms with it. It may be very difficult to do, and of course, again, that's where the association of devotees comes in. That we try to help each other, we try to soothe each other, we try to, you know, preach to each other. Another great personality in the Bhagavatam is Ranti Dev. You know, Ranti Dev was a king, but I don't understand why he was such a struck with poverty. Because most kings that you hear about, they're very, very wealthy, and they had everything. But King Ranti Dev, his whole family, it describes that he fasted for 48 days, and that his body was quite emaciated, his family too, and that he was shaking because he was just so hungry. And so somebody brought him some cooked food, you know, wonderful prasadam, you know, cooked in ghee. So he sat down with his family ready to take, and lo and behold, a brahmana came along, a hungry brahmana. So what did Ranti Dev do? Is he divided the prasadam in half, and he gave half to the brahmana. So again, he was ready to take, and another guest came by. So again, he divided in half, and he gave it to him. And then, you know, you can imagine, I think how I even fast on Jamastami, you know, by the time it's time for the feast, like, you're pretty hungry, and it's a little bit of a, you know, what do you call it, you know, when a little bit, you know, trying to maneuver in line, you know, the line, it gets pretty testy there, you know, people are hungry, and they're wanting to get their place in line, they're starving. So we're talking about 48 days, so this man comes along with his dogs, the Sudra with his dogs, and he says, I'm hungry, my dogs are hungry, please. Now, Ranti Dev had the vision, Vidyavinaya Sampane, Ramani Gavi Hustan. He could see Krishna, everyone. So he wasn't saying, oh, this is a Sudra, I'm a Brahmana, you know. No, he gave the rest of the prasadam. He thought, I still have some water. So he went to take his water, and again, someone came by. And so he gave away his water, and it said that because he saw Krishna in everything, that all his hunger, all his thirst, all his trembling, his shakiness because of his fasting, it was all taken away. Krishna took it all away because of this incredible austerity that he performed. And at that point, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, appeared to them because it was illusory energy testing him, because Krishna does that. You know, Krishna does that. You look at Srila Prabhupada's life, here's the quintessential example of a pure devotee, you know, who was so determined in every step of the way, you know, that there were so many obstacles. You know, he went to get, first of all, just writing, you know, trying to translate the Bhagavad Gita was so difficult, especially at such an advanced age. And then, yeah, the copy of his Bhagavad Gita was stolen, but he didn't give up, you know, he just continued on. And then on the boat, you know, the heart attacks, all of that, you know, he Prabhupada thought he would die. He thought that was the end. But he just always continued on. He even you can imagine Lower East Side, there, you know, just walking through the Lower East Side, so many bums on the street, you know, just blocking his path, blocking his entrance. He was rooming with a man who was a drug addict and, you know, taking LSD and kind of went crazy, and Prabhupada had to, like, get his stuff up right away and leave. I mean, how many people, especially at that age, would continue? But Prabhupada, on the order of his guru, I mean, he took that order of his guru on his head, and we are all praying that we can do the same, that we can take the order of Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bhakta on our head and continue, you know, on this path. And just like, you know, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva appeared to Ranti Dev, So everything opened up for Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna appeared, you know, in so many ways, in the form of deities, and so many temples, and so many devotees came to him. So it's really amazing to think how these pure devotees have paved the way for us, and how little we have to do, and how fortunate we are to be in this situation, that we've just been given everything. So we have so much to be thankful for, and so little austerity to perform in one sense. I mean, for Kali Yuga, it's a lot, but really, dancing, feasting, chanting, you know, with other devotees. You know, I had two devotees came over to our house because they were helping put in new countertops, you know. And, you know, Kirtan and Vrindi. And it was so great to watch them, you know, just put on a Kirtan, listen to it, and just relish it. You know, so Kirtan has saved us in so many ways. Prasadam has saved us in so many ways. And Prabhupada's books have saved us in so many ways. So we are aspiring to be pure devotees. And according to Prabhupada, we already are pure devotees. It's just time separating us from total perfection. So are we going to face obstacles? Yes, we are. Vipara, we are going to face... We faced obstacles, we're going to face obstacles, but as we pass the test, you know, as we accept the obstacles, then Krishna will bless us and will give us more strength to move along. You know, we have so much to do, and really so little time to accomplish all of our goals. Well, that's a good question. I'm not a Queen Kunti myself, you know what I mean? And I just pray. You know, actually my prayer is, let me see Krishna's hand in everything, you know? If I can see Krishna's hand behind everything, then I won't be so brokenhearted, you know what I mean? So that's one prayer. Anyway, at this point, it's getting close to the end of class. If anyone would like to share, you know, a pure devotee story, there's so many of them, you know, or even a personal story of a challenge, you know, or obstacle you faced, or you have a question, or any kind of a comment, a realization, this is a good time to share.
Human feet. They were like awake for days, not even eating, sleeping, just working, and then they finished it. Huge, they didn't even know if it was going to fit down the street.
Wow.
But they went all the way to the ocean. It was a complete miracle.
Yeah, it really was. All of that was so many miracles, you know. And that's why I probably initiated people as sannyasis, because it's like he needed an army. You know, he needed an army to fulfill his mission. So he just had to, you know, he just had to pull people in. And, you know, recently there's been a lot of interviews about the marathon for the art, all the art in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and how Prabhupada was disappointed that, and expressed this disappointment to the devotees that they weren't keeping up with him. Like, in other words, he was translating the books, and they were so far behind in doing the paintings. So Prabhupada said, you need to finish this, all the paintings. And what was it, 2 months?
3 months.
2 months. You'd finish these paintings in 2 months. So Rameshwar, at the time Maharaj, said, Prabhupada, I think that's impossible. And Prabhupada said, and I think that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So when you listen to these interviews, and I've listened to these stories that Pushkar Prabhu has shared in other interviews, Ragatmika was one of also a main player in making this a reality, you know, because she was translating. But these devotees experienced, so giving up sleep, giving up eating, just really, you know, using all their energy and how Krishna empowered them. So Krishna is always willing to empower us. Kish.
You mentioned, you know, attaining perfection, you know, us becoming, like, trying to attain that stage of pure devotional service. And it's interesting because, you know, when I think of perfection or many conversations or discussions I've had with being reaching perfection, it seems like there's two sides of the spectrum of approaching that. Of course, there's, you know, when you try to attain perfection, it's kind of, you know, the one trying never feels they have attained, and that's right. That's part of the process. That's but right. And then on the flip side of that, there's that, you know, a famous modern saying that is kind of in the modern society, which is, you know, oh, I'm imperfectly perfect, where even my imperfections are perfect, and then it, because this is all parts of the plan of, you know, like this world, even though there's so much suffering, this material world, it's perfectly created, even mm-hmm. though there's imperfections.
Huh.
So then in that, which is a nice perspective in a sense, because you're yeah. seeing everything as, you know, part of this great, but and then at the same time, it's kind of dangerous because then, like, complacency and stagnancy can enter.
That's
where
true.
Where you're like, you know, I am who I am.
Right.
So how do you, you know, that attaining that perfection, yeah, draw the line kind of, or
well,
find
I think,
the balance?
Yeah, for us though, because we have the order of the spiritual master, and because we have the instructions that Prabhupada has given us, you know, about rising early. I mean, Prabhupada repeats it over and over again. You know, whether you can come to the temple, a lot of people, they have their program at home, but he just really emphasizes that often. Rising early in the morning, because at that time it's very easy to remember Krishna. It's a mode of goodness, and it's just easy to meditate, you know, easy to remember. And as the day goes on, we've all experienced it, right? It becomes harder. Like, if some reason, way you don't get your rounds done early in the morning, you do it in the afternoon, but it's a little harder because there's just more distraction happening. So, you know, that's one instruction, but then there's just so many, you know, reading, you know, chapter a day. Read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, right? So the reading, the chanting, the offering of food, like, there's so many ways for us to achieve perfection that for us it's not like, we're not trying to figure it out, you know? It's kind of, it's laid out in front of us what we really need to do. And like you said, though, humility is such a big part of it. Like, people like Queen Kunti or people like Vasudev Dat, you know, they were like, wow, you know, I'm pretty cool because, you know, I'm willing to take all the karma of everybody in my head. And no, they just felt very lowly, and they just wanted to serve. So I think that service attitude, you know, that I was really struck by Prabhupada saying that he said that serving, it's not just serving the guru. He said serving the devotee 100 times removed, you know, the servant of the servant, the servant of the servant, that's exactly the same as serving the guru. So I think, you know, as we develop that mentality of humility, and that can be what's really missing. I think that's what you're saying.
Well, so how do we relay that message
to other people?
Well, I'm saying, yeah, how do we relay that message without, I mean, to the people who maybe, you know, accepting all the nama niyamas or do's and don'ts of, you know, like, why does everything have to be kind of like in a body, like, you need to do this, like the process, which we, of course,
yeah.
But, you know, there is a systematic process and there is a process of devotional service. But, you know, it just seems that it's kind of, you know, not popular in the current situation of no, you got to do it like this, because there's been so much of that push down in the
previously. It becomes a little impersonal, I think.
So how do you encourage that perfection and communicate it to a public that is receiving it in a good way?
Right. Well, that's part of it. But I know, like, in Hawaii, Prabhupada was there because it's kind of the population, they're a little, how can I say it, not so academically inclined, and very resentful that their island has been transformed into what did she call it? Parking cement paradise, you know. So Prabhupada said, prasadam, give them prasadam, give them prasadam. So I think prasadam and your own example of humility. And I think, you know, sharing a verse here and there, because, you know, Sanskrit verses are so potent in terms of cutting through the, you know, the material atmosphere. You know, just share it in a happy mood, because, you know, Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, Pavichamita Mutamam, Pratyak Savagamam Garamam, Sisukam Kartanavyam, that this knowledge, it's the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, because it gives direct perception of self, the realization. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. So when we're joyfully going about our business, despite, you know, calamities, despite vipara, people notice that. You know, people notice that. Like when Jayananda would go to the markets, you know, he would gather from the different vendors. You know, he would get fruits and vegetables and, you know, bring it to the temple. When he passed away, those people were crying. Where's Johnny Ananda? They called him, where's Johnny Ananda? Oh, he died, you know. They were so upset. They loved him. So as we become, you know, purer, you know, that humility and that love, you know, that Vidvinaya Sampane, you know, being able to see Krishna harbor every living entity, that shines more and more, and that's attractive to people. And, you know, you're already so attractive with doing your kirtan. You will be able to help so many people, you know. You'll be able to plant that seed, that, you know, that seed of devotion. And because we're represents of the pure devotee, you know, we're able to do that. We're able to plant the seed. That's right. And the sound vibration travels. No one will escape the web, the transcendental web, you know. It's true. Does that help? Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, like 7 or 8 in the morning.